This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to this week's edition of Joy's very own show, All About Pets. Thank you to Leo for once again providing a brilliant soundtrack to the morning. My name is Kevin, and joining me in the studio today is Kate and Alan. Hi, guys.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, good. Kevin.
So, guys, did you hear about the news earlier this month about a cat who is basically a seeing eye cat to a blind dog?
I did. Really interesting and kind of hard to believe, and just a really unusual story.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just keeps reminding us how special animals are, you know, and their intuition and
how they pick up on things that we have no idea what's going on. Well, you know, their senses are just so much stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. So no, it was really heartwarming, wasn't it?
Lovely. So if you haven't heard the story, basically an 8-year-old dog contracted was diagnosed cataracts and was confined to his basket to stop him from bumping into things. His owner let a stray cat into the home and noticed that instead of fighting, the cat actually went up to the dog and must have realized somehow that he was blind and started leading him around the house.
I suppose the cat noticed that the dog wasn't chasing him. He was actually safe and could walk up to the dog and make friends with the dogs rather than being chased out the back door.
And some cats are a little bit quirky, aren't they? Like that, you do come across those cats. I had a Burmese once that, you know, we knew which dogs he could sort of smooch and roll, you know, roll around the ground in front of, and which ones he couldn't.
Excellent. So, you know, it is interesting to see that also, you know, cats can sometimes get along with dogs. But,
yeah, absolutely. They can be best friends, can't they? So everyone should have both.
Now, we do have a reason for talking about this story, Alan.
Well, at the Lost Dogs Home, we see a whole range of animals with special needs who, for varying reasons, arrived at the home in a condition that means we have to give them some special care and lots of TLC. So the great part of the story is that with new trends and attitudes towards adoption and advances in vet care, more and more special needs cats and dogs are finding new and loving homes.
So we want to know, are you the proud owner of a pet that has some special needs? Share your stories with us. Like, they can be deaf, blind, it might be a behavioural special need, so a timid or shy dog. You know, share your story and we'll be talking about it throughout the whole program today.
Pets Aloud. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
Don't forget, you can also SMS us on 0427 JOY949 or give us a call 1300 JOY949.
Coming up today on Pets Aloud, we'll be talking, we'll be listening to a conversation with Kevin and his good friend Tom, who's adopted two cats from shelters and they both have special needs.
Alan. Well, I don't know where that came from. Alan will tell us about a very special and unique whippet that he used to own.
And we hear from Nicole Beasley, who is the owner of Planet Canine and the dog behaviour specialist at the home, about our behaviour rehabilitation programs.
And we'll also have all our usual segments, including our Q&A with our resident vet, Dr. Alan.
Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9. The Pets Aloud News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time to take a bit of a look at the news of the week. But news of today is really important, I think. Kate, don't you agree? Facebook, our Lost Dogs Home Facebook page.
Yeah.
We are at 17,990 likes.
That's so close, Kevin, to 18,000.
10 more.
10 more to 18,000. And it doesn't seem like that long ago we were actually celebrating getting to 17,000.
That's right. We just needed 3 more on that show. And now
yes, thank you to our 3 listeners of that show.
Hopefully we've got 10 listening today.
That's right. So check us out on Facebook. It is facebook.com/lostdogshome. You know, we get plenty of stories, plenty of cute pictures of dogs and cats up for adoption. How How could you not
want to follow us? Yeah, there's lots of great stories.
Now, Alan, one thing that has been posted on our Facebook page recently is about our half-price adoptions.
That's right. All throughout January, we've been doing a half-price adoption promotion. So there are 6 more days of that left to go. We have plenty of cats currently looking for new and loving homes. So why not make the most of this promotion? And taking into account the Australia Day long weekend, it's a good time to head to both our North Melbourne and Echuca shelters to meet your perfect match. Adoption costs differ from shelter to shelter. However, as a guide, the discount will take the price of adopting a dog or puppy from North Melbourne down to $150, an adult cat to $47.50, and a kitten down to $85. So that's really good value.
It is really good value, because you've got to think about it as well. These pets come de-sexed, microchipped, vaccinated, wormed, vet checked. So plenty of different things. And, you know, it is quite a bargain.
And you actually get one free obedience lesson too with the dogs at North Melbourne shelter, which is even better. So
That's right. You get a post-adoption training with Planet Canine at the Lost Dogs Home.
That's right.
And that gives you a chance to sort of talk about what you need, if you have any ideas of, well, are they settling in well?
Exactly. That just sort some of pointers thing. Around that. Yep.
Or if they're starting to get a bit cheeky and do things they shouldn't do, it means you can get them in line.
That's right. Now, you can find all our dogs and cats up for adoption on dogshome.com. Now, it is, you know, Australia Day weekend this weekend. Kate, what are some things we could think about doing with our pets?
Well, a lot of us catch up with friends and family over Australia Day. We might just go out for a barbecue at someone's place. We might go down to the beach, or we might actually go away for the weekend. So we think it's a great opportunity to bring your dog along. I guess some people can bring their cat, but most of the time it'll be your dog. consider taking them and involving them and creating some lovely, you know, family memories with the dog included. But I guess there's some things that you need to think about before you go out. Just make sure that you've got a dog that's really comfortable socializing with different people, particularly if those people have pets themselves. Always make sure that they've got identification, a microchip and a collar tag, and that your contact details up to date, just in case something happens, especially if you're away.
And make sure that if they don't want to be involved all day, that they've got somewhere that they can go to that's quiet and where they can have a bit of
quiet time, like their own bed with their own smells and perhaps some of their own toys. So
that's right. I mean, we absolutely love, you know, our social affairs and everything like that, but you've got to consider your pets as well. And there's things such as foods that you should keep away from your pets. So, you know, anything like garlic, onions, maybe if you're having some chili peppers, you know, that might be something that you've got to keep away from your pet as well, because you don't really want them to eat it.
No, that would cause them quite great distress.
you don't want to have to run off to the emergency vet on Australia Day.
That's right. We don't want to work all weekend.
No.
That's right. And Alan, you know, this Australia Day is another day where we're going to bring about fireworks. That's inevitable, unfortunately.
Yeah, and, you know, fireworks aren't really fun for dogs and cats. So if your pet's going to be at home alone and there are fireworks on, make sure they're indoors, somewhere they're safe, somewhere they can't get out of and can't hurt themselves getting out. If your dog's really anxious, it's probably better that you stay at home with them. Or if you can't get a friend or a pet sitter, or, you know, you can always speak to your vet about something to help take the edge off their anxiety. Don't forget, your pet should be microchipped, wearing a collar identification tag at all times, and to check if your details are up to date, or to arrange a microchip and free ID tag, simply contact the 24-hour database service National Pet Register on 1300 734 738.
An easy way to remember that is, it's 1300 REG PET. You can also visit their website, which is petregister.com.au. now, would Australia Day weekend be a good weekend to come and adopt from the Lost Dogs Home?
I guess so. I mean, any long weekend's a good weekend to come and adopt, because you've got an extra day or two to get them settled in. So we're open all this weekend. I think we're open from 9 until 3 on Saturday.
Yeah, and 3.30,
and 9 until 12.30 on Sunday.
And Monday.
And Monday as well.
Yeah.
So, yep, certainly come down.
Plenty of time. And, yeah, there's lots of lovely dogs and cats. Cats in particular, you know, really needing a new home.
Yeah.
And, yeah, absolutely. You know, check out our website, which is www.dogshome.com. So if that is the news of the week, more news is on that website as well.
This week's Pet of the Week.
Now, every week we bring a dog or cat into the limelight for our Pet of the Week segment. This week we're going to shake things up a bit and head out to the country. Mm. So our Echuca shelter, just like our North Melbourne shelter, have gorgeous cats, kittens, dogs and puppies up for adoption. Debuting in our Pet of the Week brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home Echuca shelter is Chewy. Now, Kate, you're an Echuca girl at heart.
Mm. I'm a country girl at heart, really. So I grew up just outside Echuca. So I know that area very, very well. And it's a lovely part of Victoria. So long weekend, thinking of adoption, why not drive out to Echuca and have a look at Chewy or maybe one of the other dogs or cats there. And you could stay overnight. There'll be some pet-friendly accommodation, I'm sure, up there as well.
So tell us a bit about Chewy.
So Chewy is a Labrador and Staffy mix. He's male and he's a little bit more mature. He's 8 years old. He's a lovely chocolate colour with a bit of white. But even though he's eight and he's mature, he's actually quite young at heart, and Labradors can be like that. They're quite exuberant and buoyant, right through to maturity. And, you know, you still could have another 8 years or more with Chewy. They can live to 15, 16 years old. Even though Chewy's older, he'll still need lots of exercise. So when you're taking on a dog like Chewy, a Labrador or a Staffy or a larger dog, you know, make sure that you can commit to exercising him every day or the dog. He's been with the home also for 3 months. So he's, you know, the guys up there at Echuca really want to see him go into a new home. They think he's such a sweetheart and they don't know why he's been overlooked until now. So we really can't wait to see a new family adopt him. So if you want to find out more about Chewy, please go and you can go online first and check out Chewy on dogshome.com. His ID number is 923527, or you can actually contact the Campaspe shelter in Echuca directly, and their number is 03 5480 3005.
Thank you for that. So that is Chewy. He's a Labrador cross Staffy mix. And you can find more about him on our website, dogshome.com. Right now, we're going to hear from Sher with a little bit of the Shoop Shoop song.
Shoop Shoop.
Shoop Shoop. And we're going to, after that, we're going to hear about some of our unique friends, cats and dogs with special needs.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Today on Pets Allowed, we are looking at our unique friends, our cats and dogs with special needs. Now, some special needs that we can automatically think of that come to mind are dogs and cats that cannot hear or see. Now, do you have a dog that has special needs or a cat that has special needs? Let us know, 0427-JOY-949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Now, Alan, you have actually had a dog that was blind, I believe.
I did. Just after I left vet school, my first dog I got then was a whippet called Fred, and he came from Whippet Rescue in the UK, and he was an ex-racing whippet, and he lived to a really good old age. But when he was about 5 or 6, I think it was, he started to go blind. He got detached retinas, and he went blind over a period probably of about 2 years. And it was really interesting because he would seem completely normal for a while, and then his eyes just got slightly worse, and maybe for a week or so he'd be really unsure of himself, and you'd kind of watch him feeling his way along walls and stuff like that, and then he'd get used to that level of sight, and again for months he'd be absolutely fine. But unfortunately eventually he did go completely blind, but he was blind for probably 5-6 years, and he coped absolutely fine. I lived in the country then, and there was a race course across the road where you're allowed to walk your dogs. It was really safe, no traffic, and I could walk him off the lead, and he was quite happy. He always came back.
Would he go that far away? Would he make sure
he'd always be within where he could hear you, but yeah. He'd be quite happily 20-30 meters away.
Yeah, it's amazing how they adapt,
around.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and at home he was great, as long as you didn't move furniture around, which is a really important thing.
Yeah, that is
with,
important.
blind dogs, that you don't move stuff around. And his bowls and his beds were always in the same place. He coped fine.
Excellent. Now, Kate, another sort of special needs might be that they might have lost a leg or be just through an accident or a road traffic accident. Now, that's your right. mother-in-law actually adopted a dog with only three legs.
Three legs. So she adopted a Maltese 10 years ago probably now. So this Maltese Tipsy, they called her Tipsy because, you know, she's kind of can tip over a bit being on three legs. That's her sense of humour. But 10 years on, she is, you know, still really, really happy. She's been a great dog. And I guess they've just really adjusted the way that they walk her. So they've got a standard fox terrier as well. They made sure That the fox.
No, I just remembered that I've got a three-legged dog.
Oh, yeah.
I completely forgot.
I thought it wasn't it two and a half legs?
Well, he broke his front leg as well after he lost the back one. But yeah, it's funny when you've had them for so long, you don't actually notice.
You don't know. Yeah, exactly. I think that's like Tipsy. She's just one of the dogs in the family. She scoots around okay, but you just don't take her on really massively long walks. But happy dog. Yeah.
Miss your favourite segment on Pets Allowed or want to hear an interview again? Head to joy.org.au/petsallowed to subscribe to our free podcast.
Now, we did talk a bit earlier about Bruce, a deaf healer. Now, Alan, how can you actually tell if a dog is deaf?
So in a shelter environment, it can be surprisingly difficult to tell if a dog is deaf or not, because if there are people around, first of all, they're always focused on you. And in the shelter, there's lots of stuff going on and they can be a bit stressed. So they're quite alert and sort of aware of what's going on. So they look like a completely normal dog. And really, the only way you can tell is when you get them really relaxed so that they actually they're not focused on you. So quite often dogs will be adopted out, not often, but it does happen that dogs will be adopted out and we won't actually realize until afterwards. But luckily people are often quite happy to keep them, and it's just a question of some advice about how you train them and how to manage them, and they often do really well.
And that's actually what happened with Bruce as well, Kate.
That's right. Actually, Bruce was surrendered by his owners, and they actually didn't volunteer that information when they dropped him off. But he was adopted by Yolanda and Luke, and they discovered he was deaf later on. But they absolutely adore Bruce and have embraced his deafness, I guess, and are spending a lot of time training and making sure Bruce understands a whole lot of sign language. I think they visit Nicole at Planet Canine and do training with her. And I spoke to Yolanda recently and she was on holidays. Bruce goes, you know, he's been to Marimbula with them and he's been on the beach, you know, for long walks. And she just could not talk highly enough about this dog and how much she loved him. So, yeah, they adapt and they make really great pets still.
And now it isn't just dogs that this affects as well. So cats can often have some special needs. Now, one thing is, we'll hear about later from with my friend Tom, is he has a white cat that's deaf. Now, Alan, I believe this is actually genetically more likely to happen.
Yes. White cats with blue eyes are much more likely to be deaf. And if the cats with one blue eye and one green eye tend to be deaf on one side, interesting enough.
On the blue side?
On the blue side, they are. So, and I think something like 70% of white cats have some degree of deafness.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Pretty common.
Yeah. Interesting. And Tom actually talks about what it's like to live with a white cat who is deaf as well. So we'll hear that a bit later on today.
At the dog's home, we see a range of cases where innocent cats and dogs arrive and they've been clearly subjected to trauma and cruelty or neglect by particular events, and that causes them physical and psychological harm.
Through our fantastic veterinary care at the home, great team of vets we have, don't we, Alan?
We do.
And our behaviour rehabilitation teams, we're able to help them and quite often turn their lives around and to get them on the road to recovery and then prepare them for adoption into a new home.
So up next, we're going to hear from Nicole Beasley from Planet Canine about how the home helps traumatised and anxious dogs.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Abandoned and lost cats and dogs that arrive at the Lost Dogs home all have a history. Some, unfortunately, are of cruelty and neglect, resulting in a range of complex behavioural issues.
The Lost Dogs Home Behaviour Modification Program helps turn these animals around and give them a new leaf in life, and it's a crucial process in improving the chances of many lost cats and dogs finding a new home.
Now, I chatted with Nicole from Planet Canine about the program and some of the dogs that we have seen at the home.
So I'm here with Nicole Beasley, dog behaviour specialist and owner of Planet Canine. Nicole heads up the behaviour rehabilitation program at the Lost Dogs Home and has taken some time out of her very busy schedule to chat with us about some of the common examples of dogs with special needs which we see at the home. I have that experience myself. I did foster Chloe, who was one of the dogs that we've had in behaviour. Mm-hmm. Now, when I first met Chloe, she was frightened, tail down, sort of didn't really respond to people at all. Is that something that you often see?
It is. It's one of the characteristics of dogs that enter the behaviour rehabilitation program at the Lost Dogs Home. Often we have dogs that come in, they're very timid. Some dogs are under-socialised. Some dogs are completely neglected. Dogs that have never been out of a backyard in their entire life. Dogs that have never been out of a house also come in. And then we get the unruly, boisterous dogs too that really haven't had any training, or they've just had somebody try to kind of manhandle them into submission, and they've learnt they can just be bigger, tougher, stronger and get what they like. But Chloe was a little bull terrier, Staffy Cross, and she was so sad, wasn't she, when she arrived?
Yeah, you could just sort of see she wouldn't look at anyone.
And no.
She would always just have her head down and tail between her legs.
And she wanted to dive into the concrete almost, didn't she, just to escape the world.
Yeah, and hide away from people. And I think what was great for me was I got to see her journey.
Yes.
Because we were doing a video for her as well. We got to see her going from this absolutely frightened dog to really loving life. We found, obviously, that she needed that dog companion so that she could really come out of her shell.
Yes.
And is that something that you often see in behaviour mod?
What I see in behaviour mod sometimes is the saddest cases come in, and then it's often the best time of their life, because they're dogs who've never had anything, or they've learnt to be really fearful of people. So even sometimes it might take a long time, you get to see that really joyous occasion like you did with Chloe when Chloe was introduced to your beagle. It's changed her life. She said, I've got a buddy here, someone who understands me.
It was such a great moment to see as well. And it must be something that you see a lot at the home with the behaviour rehabilitation dogs.
Yeah, I'm really lucky to see that. Nola, who is the other trainer who works in the program with me, she often says she can tell when their eyes change. You know, there's a moment when you've been working with a dog sometimes for a long time, and some days it's frustrating because you think, today we've actually gone a step backwards or two steps backwards, and then the next day might give you the look as if to say, oh, I get it, or I trust you, and you know that it's going to be okay.
So what's that process like? So what have you done today? Like, what kind of things would happen just daily to get to that moment?
Today we have had a group of amazing volunteers that come in and help with the program. And today, basically, they have spent time sitting in kennels with dogs that don't want to come anywhere near them.
Wow.
Because these dogs have never had contact with humans before that has been kind contact. So today they sat there. We had a couple of these little dogs come and actually take some treats. And we had a few of the little dogs not come anywhere near them. But it doesn't matter, because at least somebody sat there for 2 hours with them. Nobody hurt them. And tomorrow we can just progress onwards from there.
It sounds like sometimes it requires a few baby steps and rewarding those little small moments.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. And patience, lots and lots of patience. You know, not just with the timid ones, but with the unruly guys too, because it's no use losing your temper with a dog, because the unruly dogs often have had many people, or at least a previous owner, lose their temper at some time, and all they've learnt is that humans are inconsistent. You know, they'll ask me to do something, they won't enforce it or explain it properly, and then lose their temper.
So when these dogs go into a new home,
yes,
what are the kind of things you would tell the new owner about?
Okay, when the dogs come out of the behaviour mod program, often we get a chance to really give them a good history about the dogs. Not all the time, because some dogs are just in there to fix up, you know, maybe a problem like they haven't walked on a lead. But other dogs that have been with us for a while, we get the chance to sit with the owner and try and explain what they were like when they first came into the program.
So it's sort of to explain to them where these dogs come from.
Where the dogs come from, to give them time to, you know, maybe relax a little bit with the dog and know that maybe we might go a few steps backwards when you first come into the home, but then we're going to keep moving forward and that there's people here at the home that are going to stick with them and help them through the journey. Also, if you're taking on a special needs dog, don't be so concerned about what the rest of the world thinks of you. Now, you might be taking on a dog that really doesn't like other dogs. So you don't want to take this dog into a dog park just because your friend down the road has said that all dogs need to be in dog parks. This dog will be perfectly happy just staying on a lead with you, or having one or two dog friends, or coming to classes where we can, you know, continue the socialisation program, you know, gradually and slowly and in a safe way, because the dog has to learn that while he was safe at the dog's home with the trainers here, now he's going to be safe with you you're not going to be forcing him to do things that are beyond his capabilities.
So if you would like to know a bit more about Planet Canine, you can visit their website, which is planetcanine.com.au. You can also catch Chloe's story, that is the dog that I fostered. It is on our website, and there's also many other stories from our behaviour rehabilitation program at www.dogshome.com. Now, what did you guys think?
I think it's such an important part of the work that we do nowadays, and I love hearing those stories. And I mean, I know Nicole, and I've known Nicole for years, and she's such a great person.
She's good at what she does.
She's so good at what she does, and it's really, really important. And I love seeing those dogs get homes when in the past they wouldn't have got homes.
Yeah. I love that bit when she said, you know, that it's the nicest, or it's the best day they've ever had, or it's the nicest experience they've ever had in their life when they first come into the home. And just that we can give them that, and that we can turn their lives around through this program and with people like Nicole. And she has a whole lot of volunteers there that are helping her as well. It's, you know, yeah, you're right. You never get sick of hearing those stories. It's incredibly special. Yeah.
And having had, I mean, I've had a dog, my three-legged dog, actually. He was really timid and really traumatized when I first got him. And he is the sweetest dog, and he is, you know, so bonded to me. And he just, you know, if I'm watching TV, he has to be sitting on the floor
right
by my feet,
you
know,
like Velcro.
You know, he just loves being with me, and that's the nicest kind of dog to own.
I've got one of those too. Yeah, been through the behavior mod program and exactly like that too.
Absolutely. And yeah, as she said, like one of the best moments for me was seeing Chloe actually come out of her shell, because I'd seen so much of her being, you know, scared and timid. And the moment she met my beagle, Luna, she absolutely, tail went like a million miles an hour, and really thought, hey, this is the moment where she's finally got it and understood. So right after this, we are going to hear from Tom, who is going to be talking about his special needs cats. This is Promises with Baby It's You. You're with Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Great shows. Fun people. Joy 94.9.
So pets with special needs can live happy and healthy lives, but what is it actually like living with a pet who has special requirements?
Earlier this week, Kev caught up with a friend of his, Tom, and his two cats were adopted from shelters in Victoria, and both have some unique special needs.
I'm on the line with Tom, who, with his partner Joey, they have two very cute cats who both have a bit of special needs. Tom, can you tell me a little bit about your cats?
Sure. I've got two cats, one white, one black. Both have been adopted. Austin, he's about 5 or 6 years old now, and he lived with a lady who had around about 40 to 50 cats. So he's a bit of a attention needer and attention seeker. The other one is a white little kitty who's about 2 years old now. His name's Jake, and he's completely white and deaf. Can't hear a thing, and yeah, they're just very cute and cuddly and friendly and unique.
So how did you make the decision to adopt these two cats?
Well, we wanted a cat after about being together for a year. At the time, there were lots of articles about, like, puppy farms and cage kitties and things like that. So we drove out, went walking through, and just found this black cat hiding in a box that was just absolutely adorably cute, and had to have him.
And was that the same when you adopted Jake?
With Jake, it was more of a, we kind of felt sorry for him because we spoke to the lady about how cute he was and patted him, and apparently everybody else, all the other kittens that came in with him, got adopted out, but nobody wanted him because he was deaf.
Speaking about how he's deaf, what was the decision around that? Why did you choose to adopt a deaf cat?
Well, we just thought that a deaf cat probably is no different than a normal cat. A bit wrong on that, but it just sort of felt sorry for him and decided that there's nothing really wrong with him. It's just he's all by himself now in a shop and it's not going so well. So it was just kind of, he's deaf, might as well give him a chance with us.
Excellent. What's it like living with, say, a deaf cat?
It's very different. Deaf cats are nothing like what we predicted or what the lady in the shop actually thought would happen. He's incredibly playful at times, but also very skittish at times. He has a bit of a personality swing from now and then, but most importantly, he's incredibly vocal. He does not realize he makes noises when he opens his mouth.
So he probably can't hear himself. He can't hear himself speak, basically.
No. He's more like a dog barking all the time, but it's a very cute meow because it's not like a normal cat fully heard. It's like a child, like a kitten.
Yep.
It's just all cute and sweet and cuddly, and you'd have to pat him.
And have you guys had to make any adjustments with living with him?
we have to just be a bit careful when we sneak up on him, because occasionally he can get incredibly freaked out when you come in, because he doesn't hear you. And if you pat him and he's like been asleep for hours, he tends to freak out instantly and hide for a while. As well as that, we can't actually let him go outside anymore, because A, he's white, and B, deaf cats tend to have no fear. They just kind of keep exploring because there's no noises to scare them to make them come back. And as soon as he gets lost, he starts meowing and just hopes someone else will find them and take him home. We just had to make sure our neighbors knew all about him, because he's several times decided to claim their living rooms, like sneaking out of the bedroom window when it's just slightly too ajar, and or sprinting towards the gap in the door and then forcing the door open. And he just kind of walks into the neighbor's properties and just says hello and then falls asleep on their lounge and stuff like that. So you just have to keep an eye on him.
So that was my chat with Tom, who, along with his partner Joey, they adopted two adorable cats with special needs. Now, I will just clarify, I know he did say shop a few times. He did adopt both of the cats from a shelter, so it's not...
He's done the right thing.
He has done the right thing in thinking about that. So, Alan, we've talked about some of the things that you might find, so deaf dogs, blind, deaf cats, that sort of thing. What are some of the more common special needs that we find?
Well, I suppose deaf and blind, you know, that's fairly extreme special needs. But we do adopt out lots of animals that have much less, I suppose, much less demanding conditions, but they still need a bit of extra care when they go to their new home. So we have things like ear and skin infections, so they may need to go with some drops or some medication. And certainly they'll, you know, dogs with skin problems like flea allergy will need really good flea treatment for the rest of their lives. And people need to understand that if they take on animals, dogs and cats like that, that they are going to have to see a vet every so often, and that's, you know, an expense that they're going to have to plan for. There's a really common condition in little dogs where their kneecaps are loose and they tend to slip in and out, and sometimes that's really serious and sometimes it's really mild. If it's serious, we try to fix them with surgery while we have them in the shelter. So those animals may need a bit of extra care beforehand. It's not beforehand. As soon as they go home, you know, they may need to be kept confined for a few weeks and then introduced to exercise gradually. And it's a question of educating people that these are the problems that the animals have and how they need to manage them. White cats and dogs can be a bit of a problem because they get sunburned, and eventually, just like with people, the sunburn can turn to skin cancer. So people need to be careful with those.
And this is all stuff that our vets will actually go through before someone adopts that animal as well. So we will go through that with you and say, look, this is the possibilities. You know, this is an older dog. They might start to degenerate in terms of their sight and their hearing, or this dog has had surgery for a luxating patella or something like that, or they might be susceptible to that as well. So there's all things that we will actually go through on that. So, you know, it definitely is about what Nicole said. It's about managing your own expectation and not getting embarrassed by it either.
No, so, yeah.
And we will try and, you know, when people adopt new animals, if they find problems or problems develop, we'll always try and support them through those, because that's an important part of our role, successful adoption.
That's right. We want them to stay in new homes and to be a successful member of the family. So
you're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. So thank you very much for sending your questions through for the Pets Allowed Q&A segment with our resident vet, Dr. Alan Bolton. Today, we have an email from Michelle from Cranbourne. She told us about how her vet recently put her dog on a special diet to stop her dog from itching. She would like to know how changing her dog's diet will actually help stop the itching.
Okay, well, allergic skin disease is really common in dogs, and food allergies, while they're not the commonest form of allergies, they make up an important cause of skin disease. Allergic dogs are often red and itchy all over, and they're prone to recurring skin and ear infections. Before diagnosing food allergy, it's really important for vets to rule out lots of other causes of skin disease, because they can all look very similar. So mange, fleas, and hormonal problems can all look the same, and it can be quite frustrating for owners to have to go through all these tests that keep coming back negative, but you just need to bear with it. Dogs are usually allergic to a specific protein in food, so that can be any protein source. It can be beef, lamb, or chicken, or fish, and the only reliable way of diagnosing a food allergy is to perform a food trial. In general, there are three types of food which are sold in vet clinics and pet shops. The first are labeled sensitive skin or something similar, and they may have reduced additives and maybe increased levels of vitamins, minerals and oils, which will promote healthy skin. These ones aren't used in the treatment of allergic skin disease. The other two types are, and the first are made of novel protein sources. So this means that the ingredients are not used in normal, regular dog foods, and so your pet shouldn't be allergic to them, because it takes time and repeated exposure for allergies to develop. And in the second type, they've got normal protein sources, but they're cut into little short lengths by enzymes, which means they're not recognized by the body and the allergic reaction doesn't happen. In either case, you have to feed the diet for at least 3 months before stopping, and you can't feed anything else. So no treats, no bones, just water. If you feed it for 3 months and you're really strict with the diet and it doesn't make any difference, then you know it's not food. It's not a food allergy and you have to start looking for something else. But if it makes a difference and your dog gets better, then you just keep them on that food for the rest of their life. And some, you know, you can add in one thing at a time and see if they start itching again. But generally, you have to keep them on that diet.
Thank you so much for that, Alan. Now, if you do have a question for Alan, get in touch with us via our email, which is lostdogshome@joy.org.au. I'm Kevin. You're here with Kate and Alan and Kevin on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
It is time for a couple of brief dog dates. So coming up, we have the Melbourne Pet and Animal Expo, which is the 2nd to the 3rd of February at Caulfield Racecourse Station Street in Caulfield. Now, Kate, I believe Best Friends will actually be there.
Yeah, Best Friends Pet Super Centres. They actually provide adoption for our cats and kittens, or just kittens really, through their many stores. So they'll be at the Pet Expo, and they'll have information on the home and adoption of cats and also the National Pet Register. So please go and see them.
Entry fees do apply. More information, just search for Melbourne Pet and Animal Expo 2013. Alan, I believe we have the first National Pet Register event of the year.
That's
as well.
That's right. On Sunday the 10th of February at Banyule City Council, they're having their Companion Animal Microchipping Day. It's at Ivanhoe Town Hall in the car park at 275 Upper Heidelberg Road, Ivanhoe 3079. It starts at 10 and finishes at 12. Microchips are $25 and bookings
petregister.com.au. That's right. Otherwise, give us a call on 1300-REG-PET. Now it is time to wrap up another Pets Allowed show for this week. Don't forget about our pet of the week, which was Chewy, who is at our Echuca shelter. So you might want to take a trip up this Australia Day long weekend to Echuca. And his identification number is 923527. And we also got an email in from Brent, because we were asking about stories with your pets with special needs. So Brent's brother actually adopted a dog that he took to the vet after it showed up at his work. Now, this dog had every single bone in his body had been broken.
That's hard to believe, isn't it? But it must have been really mistreated.
Yeah, so it would have had quite a hard life. Poor thing. But he took the dog everywhere with him at the holiday house. He didn't really know what to do when he threw a ball. He sort of looked like, what was that?
Yeah.
He didn't know how to jump. It was a really sad start, but he was such a lovely dog and he loved the whole family and everything like that. So it was great to hear, Brent, that your brother did adopt a dog with special needs. Now, remember, we do have lots of dogs and cats ready for adoption.
Half price adoptions just for a few days more.
That's right. They do end at the end of this month. Next week, many of us will be setting our alarm clock to 6 a.m. as school and work is back, but Fido and Felix might not be feeling the same way because, well, it's the first time they're going to be alone without you. So we'll be talking about routine and about how crucial that is.
The Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9 presents Pets Allowed. Pets Allowed. Join the Lost Dogs Home crew and friends for Pets Allowed, exploring all things animal from wet nose to wagging tail. Fridays from noon on Joy. News, views, interviews, advice and everything mice. Brought to you by Joy sponsor, the Lost Dogs Home. Pets Allowed on Joy. More fun than you can wag your tail at.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.